first letter to the Thessalonians. We're finishing it up in the next couple weeks. And in the New Testament version of the Bible, this part of the Bible, this section, begins with a heading called Final Instructions. So the Apostle Paul, he wrote these words to the church in Thessalonica, and they're powerfully applicable for each one of us today, for the church today. So from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. And may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. This is the word of the Lord. So let's make that our prayer this morning as we step into this. God of peace, make us holy through and through. Keep our whole spirit, soul, and body blameless when your Son, Jesus, appears, when he returns, when he comes in the resurrection. Lord, you are faithful in calling us, and we trust you to do in us all that you have promised. In Jesus' name, amen. Shakespeare's play, King Richard III, begins with these two lines. Now is the winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by this son of York. Now that's probably the first and maybe the last time I'll ever use Shakespeare in a sermon. However, it does make a good point for us today. It expresses that we have reached the depth of unhappiness and there are better days ahead. Now I don't know when those better days are coming, I really don't. But I do know that dissatisfaction is running high these days. So we're feeling discontentment and how things are. We need either a little or probably a whole lot of encouragement right now. And no matter who you are, as we've said, we all need encouragement. I do, you do, even the great Apostle Paul, he needed encouragement because he was completely discontent as he was thinking about this little church in Thessalonica that he had planted some time ago in the middle of deep persecution, and he had no idea how they were faring in the midst of opposition. So when he couldn't stand it any longer, he sent Timothy back to the church to find out what was happening, and he got a report back that encouraged him. They were strong. They hadn't abandoned their faith. Instead, they were flourishing. And Paul then writes them to tell them, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. So their thriving faith, that was a super encouragement to overcome the great Apostle Paul's worrying discontent. Your faith encourages me. I'm encouraged that this pandemic hasn't dimmed your enthusiasm to gather for worship, whether it's right here or whether it's online or whether it's outside in the park. It hasn't dimmed your desire to worship. I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged that your compassion and care for one another hasn't ended with social distancing or isolation. And one example of that this week was at the Traverse Care Center, Fidelia. I found out that she goes around to all of our residents and brings an iPad to each one so that they can listen to our online service. So welcome, Traverse Care Center, today. And Fidelia not only does that, but when I was having a chat with one of the residents, they couldn't understand me because, you know, it just wasn't working. They couldn't hear well. So she actually interpreted everything I was saying to this resident. You know, and I'm so encouraged by that kind of compassionate service. So financial pressures from without and uncertainty from within has not diminished your generosity as the church. And that is incredibly encouraging to me and to Jeff. Jeff is a traveler that came through Wheaton this week. And he stopped and received a compassionate response, all because of your generosity to the Wheaton Ministerial Crisis Fund. So someone nearby pointed Jeff to our church, and he asked if we could provide him a respite on his journey. So we were able to give him lodging in the motel, provide food for the journey, and he even got a haircut on Monday morning. He looked so good. And so Jeff, he was over the top grateful for the generosity displayed to him by the churches in Wheaton. So we chatted together as he shared his story and he shared his journey of faith. And he wanted me to especially thank you today, the church here, for the kindness and generosity that he experienced. So good job, Jesus followers, right? Good job. You make a difference in the world and it encourages me greatly. This letter to the Thessalonians, it's so timely for us today because it's written during their time of struggle and hardship when things were tough. We're all facing some difficult times. For those who follow Jesus, for those who don't follow Jesus, these are tough times. We all feel a certain dissatisfaction. We sense a growing discontent with how things are. And this letter, it's written to the church to encourage them to keep going, to keep growing, to keep sharing the good news of the gospel, to keep adding new followers to the community of faith, and then to keep loving them and keep loving everyone more and more. He says, and in fact, you do love all God's family throughout Macedonia. We urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. Would you say that with me? More and more. More and more loving. Because there are better days ahead for the follower of Jesus. So Bethlehem Church and all our mission friends, whether you're watching online or at Traverse Care Center or wherever you are around the world today, you do love all God's people throughout your area. Yet, brothers and sisters, as followers of Jesus, I want to encourage you. As the Apostle Paul says, I urge you that it is critical at this time to step up our game and love each other and those around us more and more. More and more in this time. So if you are feeling this growing sense of discontent, then these words of the Apostle Paul's final instructions are for beating back that dissatisfaction. And this is so practical that it's easy to overlook. It really is. You know, after we cut down those three big diseased elm trees that were in the yard, there were huge stumps left over, right? And we got the local stump grinder to come in, and he ground those stumps all up, which was great. Wood chips all over the place. It took a whole lot of work to clean all that up. Thanks, Matt. And when we got it all done, got the dirt spread out, last week I decided it was a great time to plant grass, get it growing before the fall arrives. So as I inspected the ground, I noticed that some of the roots were kind of still right at the surface. So I started digging down, and I found this big, huge, massive root. So I got out my Craftsman electric chainsaw for camping that I got for $25, and I was going to try and figure out what kind of damage I could do. And I realized that I was no match, my little saw was no match for what I found under the ground. That whole stump was still there. You know, that big tree had lifted the actual ground all around it. So when the stump got ground down and when we leveled off the dirt, it ended up that it was just kind of right under the surface still. And so I got a hold of Matt, and he got a hold of our local stump grinder, and he said, oh, we'll come back, no problem, we're going to make it right. And so he started digging away, and he ground down, and about another foot and a half made this big, huge, messy pile of wood and dirt and chips, and then he left. And I looked at that, and I thought, wow, that is a mess. Going to have to go up through all this work of getting it all cleaned up again. But you know, I was no longer dissatisfied with the prospect. I was now ready to go ahead, do the work. I'm ready, Matt, to do the work and get it all cleaned up again, put the dirt back in and plant the seed, because I know now that in that place, there's going to be flourishing grass that will grow. It won't dry out and just be a big dirt spot now. It's all cleared up. It all means two things for me. One, it's a lot of work. And two, grass is going to grow. You know, in our walk with Jesus, when we start to feel this season of discontent, it probably means we have some stumps to grind. Even though the Apostle Paul was encouraged by faith in the church in Thessalonica, there were things that were causing a certain discontentment. There was disunity. Relations among the believers just weren't all that they could be. And therefore, he keeps reminding them and when he was with them, he was constantly encouraging and comforting and urging you to live lives worthy of the calling of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And Paul knew that they still had some stumps to grind. So he gives them instructions on how to do it. So is there room in your faith walk with Jesus for some growth? Have you already arrived? Or do you have some stumps to grind? Paul says, start grinding so that you can live that life worthy of the call God has for you. So as the church, we make followers of Jesus. We don't want to leave any stumps in the way that would get in the way of that mission. And so for us to encourage one another and build each other up, we want to be that authentic church that keeps going, that keeps growing, that keeps sharing the gospel, that keeps adding new members to our fellowship, and then keeps loving each other more and more, just as we are doing. So where do we start? What stumps need grinding at Bethlehem Covenant Church? Well, Paul addresses four areas of responsibility in the church to keep working on. And those areas are these: the leaders, each other, ourselves, and responsibilities in worship. So for some of the Thessalonians, their discontent seems to have been with their leaders. And maybe this is where some of you feel that greatest sense of dissatisfaction. You know, it's easy to blame the leaders for the unease that we feel in these times of uncertainty, and that certainly can carry over in the church. You know, I have expectations, both as someone under leadership and someone as a leader. You have expectations. And you know, believe it or not, sometimes those expectations don't line up. So when those expectations aren't met, how do we respond to that? Because life together on this side of the return of Jesus, on this side of Jesus coming home, it always means that we're going to have unmet expectations. It's just the way it is. Things aren't perfect. So how do we deal with those unmet expectations when it comes to our responsibilities to leaders in the church? Well, we'll look at the letter. It says, now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, who admonish you. So acknowledging has this sense of respecting those who are fulfilling these functions, those who work hard among you. So Paul has in mind here his actual laboring for the gospel. You know, when he was with the Thessalonians, he worked himself. He provided for his own needs. He labored throughout all of that time so that he would set an example for those leaders. And then he expected those leaders to follow his example, to serve out of gratitude and humility and self-sufficiency. And so Paul is saying, recognize those who are working and laboring on your behalf in the church, and honor that, honor them, respect them. You know, some of you among us invest so much to display your love, you know, hard work that you labor. We want to respect that. We want to honor that. Some of our paid staff, some of our volunteers, some of you behind the scenes. The Bible tells us to acknowledge and honor all of that. Certainly, we don't want to grumble and complain about those who are pouring out their lives for the sake of the gospel. Not at all. Paul asks us to respect those who work hard and to respect those who care for you in the Lord. You know, this describes those who are leading over us. At Bethlehem, we call them our elected council, or we call them our leadership team. They take their roles very seriously. They hold more than just a great responsibility for leading. They actually serve in caring and loving for you. And I want you to know that your leadership team loves you. Absolutely. They care for you. I've heard their hearts as they pray for you. You matter to our leadership team, every one of you. When a prayer request comes in for the church, many of those are the ones who are lifting you up before the Lord in prayer and the prayer chain. When we are aware of one of your needs, it's often those who are working behind the scenes to make those needs known and fulfilled. When we're struggling with direction, how best to connect and how to serve one another, they're the ones that are laboring. They're the ones that are up at night thinking and sleeplessly praying for God to give direction to the church. So we want to honor those who are serving us in the Lord. So you are loved by those who lead. The apostle says that we are serving when we are submitting to our leaders in the church. We're serving the Lord. So if you're struggling, if you have this sense of struggling to come under the leadership of those who are displaying this living example of Christ-like sacrificial service, then we might have a stump to grind. Paul asks us to respect those who work hard, who care for you in the Lord, and those who admonish you. That admonish one, that's probably the biggest one where we have this sense of discontent. Admonishing means correction. It means discipline. It means, you know, giving a hard word or a deed. A commentator writes, it applies blame. You know, there's something wrong here. And naturally it arouses resentment, since discipline is never pleasant, but it's necessary and requires respect. So on the way to officiating a wedding yesterday, I asked Cheryl for a piece of gum, and she gave me a word of correction. She said, "You can't chew gum in public." I don't know what that means. To live a life worthy of our calling, we need correction. We need discipline. The proverb says, the one who heeds correction gains understanding. If we want to grow into the full calling that God has on our lives, we need that understanding. Therefore, we need to receive that correction. So if we're struggling in that area of receiving correction from those who love us and care for us, then that may be a signal that we have a stump to grind. So we're asked to respect those who work hard, to care for us in the Lord, and those who admonish us. And Paul says, hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. The Apostle Paul says that because of this great work, we are to give our leaders our wholehearted support and respect, all in the spirit of love. It's a powerful witness to the mission and ministry of Christ when we respect our leaders. And it's a terrible witness when we don't. When I was first growing in my walk with Jesus, Cheryl and I we had young kids, and Cheryl was on the ministry team, so she was always in the worship service playing. And I was often caregiver for the babies, so I would be out in the fellowship hall feeding kids or doing whatever I had to do with them. And I found myself there one Sunday morning during worship, and I could hear voices coming down the hall, and they were just getting louder and louder. And as they came into the room where I was in, there was this person who was shouting at one of the church leaders, just shaking their finger in their face, and they were just red and hot. And I saw it, and I just looked at it, and I couldn't believe it, to be honest. You know, I'm this young follower of Jesus, just growing up in the Lord, and I'm thinking, you know, this is the church. This is the place where we're supposed to learn how to love each other. What's going on? And as I looked at that, I'm sure my mouth was just hanging wide open. And that person who was so furious looked at me and said, "What are you doing here? Get out of here!" And I was like, I didn't know what to do. I thought, wow, wow. You know, we have disagreements in the church, right? We don't always see eye to eye. That's life together. But a healthy missional church, in spite of our disagreements, is always to live at peace with each other. Let me say that. Always to live at peace with each other. And I want to say, you do that so much. In this season, when I'm visiting with pastors and we're collaborating and trying to navigate this way forward, you know, I hear stories of churches that are in disarray, leaders who are just beat down, and I just think, wow, I just don't seem to experience that. And I'm so grateful. Not that we don't have disagreements, we do. But you continue to live in peace, to love one another, and to display that in spite of our disagreements. I'm grateful. I'm encouraged. When relationships are not all that they can be, when we're feeling discontent with others, we might have some stumps to grind before we can be all that God has called us to be. So we have a relational covenant in our church, and one of those commitments are that we respect and honor the office of pastor and other lay leaders. That is a God-honoring act. So we have responsibilities to our leaders. We have responsibilities as well to one another. So how do we respond when we are dissatisfied with people in the church? You know, I think this is a big one. Does anyone in the church ever rub you the wrong way? No hands, please. Of course. I hope so. You know, that may sound odd for me to say that, but I hope so. Because if that's not happening, then we're not being the church. We're not bringing in new followers of Jesus. You know, when we become a follower of Jesus, we don't become all shiny and perfect right away. You know, we are transformed. We are made into a new creation. Our heart is new. But it takes a while of this journey of walking, of correction, to actually be more and more like Jesus, to be more and more loving. And so we have to make accommodation for that in the church. Do we allow people room to grow? You know, is Bethlehem a safe place to allow stumps to be revealed before they're ground down? We have to find them before we can grind them. Paul says we're responsible to one another to give room to grow. So how do we do it? It's the responsibility of the strong in faith to encourage and support the weak in faith. The apostle says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak. Whatever kind of weakness anyone has in the church, it is the responsibility of the strong to encourage and support the weak." I'm going to say that one more time. It's the responsibility of the strong to encourage and support the weak in faith. I want to invite you. I know we're in COVID season, so, you know, don't move over and hug each other. But turn to one another and say, "I give permission for you to help me. I give permission for you to help me." Say that to someone. "I give permission for you to help me." Now, why is that so important? You know, if we become discontent with the spiritual maturity of those around us in the body of Christ, we probably have a stump to grind. So if there are people who are disheartened and weak in the faith, that means that we have to step up our game with encouragement and help so that they can grow. It's not their work alone to become a mature believer in Christ. It's our work to work together to grow into all that God has called us to be. To be an advocate, and that requires patience. Katie taught us on that, patience. Paul says, be patient with everyone. Sometimes it's translated long suffering, patience. Feels like you're suffering through it. Change takes time. We don't always respond to it correction right away, right? Sometimes we got to fight a little bit and, you know, deny a little bit. We all make mistakes. We all end up at some time or another on the wrong side of loving everyone. So the next verse that Paul writes is critical for a follower of Jesus. He says, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. It's so important. Revenge is always out of the question for a Jesus follower. And we all have responsibility in the church to see that it doesn't happen. Because everything in us, from a worldly outlook, says that's justice. Revenge is justice. But it's not. It's not. It's not for a Jesus follower. The right response as a Jesus follower is always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Jesus teaches us to pay back evil with good. That's the right response to a wrong suffered. That means the welfare of the offender must be the prime objective. Now, someone might say, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. Aren't we asking for more trouble with that kind of an attitude? Well, the goal is shalom. The goal is right relationship with God and with one another. No matter the offense, it's restoration as the goal in the body of Christ. So if we want to get even or pay back someone for the offense, then we might need to grind a stump. We all have responsibilities to our leaders. We have responsibilities to one another. And the next two we're going to save for next week. So I invite you to come back as we look at ways to overcome our dissatisfaction. So as we finish up today, we recognize that we can't do all of this on our own. You know, as I was trying to uncover that stump under the ground, I realized that this was way bigger than I could handle. Even though I may have wanted to clear it up, I had no means in order to do it. I needed help. And so I got on the phone and help arrived and ground down that stump. And it was a huge mess, right? It means there's a whole lot more work to do. I could have just thrown grass on there and it would have grown up a little bit and then it would have died and there'd been a big black spot. I could have done that. But it created this kind of sense of dissatisfaction. That just wouldn't be right. So we made a whole big mess again. But now I know that when that's cleaned up and replanted, healthy grass will grow. And that's the way it is for us in the body of Christ. When we do that hard work, and it's hard work, of grinding down those stumps, then we are open to live into the full call that God has placed on our lives, which is this: loving one another more and more. So let's come before the Lord and pray. If you're in a place today where you are recognizing that under the surface there is some stumps that need to be ground down in your life, then I'm going to invite us just to surrender those to the Lord. Gracious God, Father in heaven, you know us as we are right now. You know our faults and insecurities. You know the ways that we may be falling short. Lord, we're even aware today of some of those things. Lord, where we are just held back from loving one another in the way that we know we ought to, but just aren't getting there. Lord, we surrender that to you today. And ask, Lord, that you will allow us to have those stumps ground down. And Lord, be open to correction. Be open to those who would come around us and encourage us and help us to grow in those areas. And Lord, as we do, may that result in loving more and more. May that be a witness to those around us, that people would see you in our lives. And your grace, and your love, and your forgiveness. Lord, do your good work in us. We ask in Jesus' name. And if today you listen and you recognize that there probably is a place that you should be that you're not today, that maybe there's a relationship with Jesus that you just haven't pursued, that you know that Jesus is there knocking on the door for you, asking you to come in to trust him with your life, but you've held off. If that's where you are today, I urge you to surrender your life to Jesus. The Bible says that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The opportunity to know forgiveness, to experience love and grace where there was rejection, and to embrace the way of love and eternity. If that's you today, I invite you to receive Jesus with a simple prayer, something like this. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for my sin. I know that you died on the cross for me so that I would be forgiven and accepted. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that for me. I believe. And Lord, I please ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I may not only experience your loving grace around me, but I may truly love those around me more and more. Jesus, as you do, I give you thanks and praise. Amen.